の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずく。This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that has been imitating classic literature these days. You know what I'm talking about? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. We are all over the place as a team, everybody. I am T. Ray, your host. This is May the 22nd, and we are on episode number 98. Joining me from Paradise today is Sanjay. How are you doing?
Aloha, brother T. Ray. I'm doing all right. And how are you doing, brother? Hey.
I'm good. You know, it's you know, the baseball season is in full swing, and I feel like I'm getting into a pretty decent rhythm, despite being busy with all sorts of other things. There's always time for baseball, and it's always fun to watch, except when we play the Carp. And we used to say that that was the case, except when we played the Giants, but we're going to talk about why that changed during this past fortnight. So on today's show, we are going to look at the weeks that we have missed out on since the last podcast, but also we are going to talk about some of our aging veterans, how they are in decline, and who are going to replace them, or how can we possibly fill the voids that they are going to leave when inevitably they leave the team. So stick around, we'll be right back with some news and rumors.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
All right, Sanjay. So we've got several bits of news here, and a lot of them are connected with pitching, as I think was the case last time. And I think the big one for all of us, especially we who tend to have that extra spot in our heart, the soft spot in our heart for the import pitchers, is Onelky Garcia, who, as you remember, got sent down to the farm after three horrendous outings at the start of the year, but has since been quite good on the farm. In fact, last Tuesday, the 14th, he pitched on the farm, went seven innings, allowed zero runs on six hits and three walks. And his ERA was 1.13 on the farm in, what, three starts or four starts? I think four starts. So he joined the top squad on May the 21st, which was this past Tuesday, and apparently he will be starting later this week against Yokohama, in Yokohama. Not sure of the date, but it's probably going to be a Nishi, Messenger, Garcia trio in Yokohama, so looking pretty good. Any thoughts on Garcia?
Well, I'm really glad to hear that he's back up on the top squad, but actually I'm a little rusty on the rules with the foreigners, so if you care to enlighten me and probably some of the other listeners as far as how that goes, because we got Johnson up there and we got, well, Randy doesn't count now, but are we up to any kind of limit with Garcia back up top?
We don't have to swap anybody down in his place, because actually we've been playing with three foreigners plus Randy, who's finally Nihonjin. So we got, as our pitchers now, we'll have Garcia, who actually hasn't been officially registered yet, plus Johnson and Dolis. And then as our hitter, we've got Marte. And so sitting down on the farm, we have got still Efren Navarro, as well as Yenqing Liu. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it.
Okay. So we're okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're still safe. So the rule anyways, just for those who are not 100% clear on it, you can't have four foreign pitchers or four foreign hitters up on the top squad at any one time. You can have four players total, but you've got to have some of each or fewer than four. So, yeah, so when he comes up, there's nobody that has to go down as far as foreigners go, but somebody will get kicked down to make room for him. And I would suspect it would be one of our kind of fringe starters who maybe hasn't been doing so well lately, but we'll get to that soon. So in other news, and I think the biggest news of in Kansai in the past week was that the prince or the king or everybody's darling, Shintaro Fujinami, finally took to the mound in a farm game. And for those of you that don't know, he put himself down on the farm, and I think he took himself out of throwing in games before the season even started. And so on Saturday, the 18th, he finally pitched just one inning, in a game, and he got the three hitters, three up, three down, nine pitches to get three outs. One of them was a strikeout. So pretty good stuff, I guess. Everybody's excited, and now he's got a little bit of a different pitching form than he did before. Any thoughts on this?
I am so happy to hear that. So happy for him, really, more than anything else. And I would say that he's due. I'd love to see him up in the top squad and work his magic.
Yeah, I think it might be a while before that happens, but I would suspect maybe earliest case scenario would be after Interleague. I kind of have a feeling they won't throw him in before Interleague for sure, and certainly during would be a little bit cruel in some ways. So I kind of feel like they might do it after Interleague wraps up. So it might be the end of June. So maybe he'll kind of ramp things up and get a few innings at a time and just really get a feel for his stuff and a feel for his new form before he comes back up. But what a good addition that would be if he can come up and he can throw the way he's capable.
Well, we mentioned in the last episode that we might want to think about starting him in a sort of a mop-up role just to get his feet wet.
Yeah, well, I'm not really sure. Like, maybe I would back down from that simply because it seems like they are trying to figure him out completely and bring him up as a starter. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it kind of depends also on what our numbers are like as far as starting pitchers go when he's ready to go. I mean, if we have six guys that are capable or that are on a good roll, then yeah, why would we call him up to be a starter and replace someone who's doing a good job? In that case, we might want to put him in the bullpen because we always seem to have a couple of guys in there that don't really have things figured out or are only there to gain experience or to be the mop-up guys. So yeah, I don't know. But speaking of guys that are possibly getting ready to come back up to the top squad, Yuta Iwasada, who was out with the flu and with a very high fever. Apparently, Sanjay, you were telling me before we hit the red button, he pitched on the farm, did he?
Yes, apparently he had three innings pitched and gave up zero runs. And that's about the extent of what I know about how he did. But it's a good sign.
Yeah, certainly it's a good sign. I would hope that maybe he's going to get one more start on the farm before he comes up. And yeah, he might be up to start Interleague or maybe a 1 week before Interleague. I don't know. But what I heard on a different show was that sometimes when you've got a high fever, it really like does something to your muscles. And so it does definitely take a little bit more time than you would expect. Like you think, okay, well, once the fever goes away, he's good to go. But that's not the case. So he might just get one more rehab start on the farm. Maybe they'll stretch him 5-6 innings and then bring him up the week after. The final bit of pitching news I've got for you is that our boy Koyo Aoyagi leads the league in double plays induced, which he added to in last night's game. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But he's got 12 on the season, which you can take in one of two ways, right? I mean, that means there were 12 innings where he had guys on base, where he might have been better off without guys on base. But it also means he's getting grounders when he needs to get grounders, and he's shown capability of getting out of jam after jam. And I just hope that his luck doesn't run out or his skill doesn't run out, because that's a pretty good thing to have in your pocket. When you get a guy on base and you say, okay, well, I'm going for the grounder now, and you get it.
Well, I'm totally looking at only the positive side of this one because, you know, face it, you're going to give up a runner here and there. You know, most people walk hits per innings pitched is, you know, one is considered a pretty good number. So you figure there's going to be a runner every inning, and the double play is the pitcher's best friend, and he's got 12 of them, so more power to him. I think he's doing well with his sinking balls that, you know, are making all these grounders happen, and I think he really learned that more to his advantage this year over last year. And I think there was a comment about how he learned from Fukudome, who was, you know, standing in the batter's box watching pitches from Aoyagi and telling him, you should use the inside, pound the inside so your outside pitches become more effective. And a light kind of went off in his head, apparently.
Well, good old Fukudome-sensei. I mean, he seems to have a way with words and a way with coaching guys. And yeah, I think a coaching job might be in his future. So as we talk about the older guys later in the show, Kosuke-san, your name is going to come up again. All right, one final bit of news, or a couple actually. One, Yoshio Itoi hurt himself on the weekend against the Carp. I think he slid into the right field wall as he was making a catch on a foul ball. Made the catch, which is good, but he was pulled from the game. The good news is, everybody, he played on Sunday and then he also played last night. And so it seems that it was just something minor and that he will be able to go game in, game out until the next time he gets hurt. But yeah, Itoi-san, your name's going to come up as well because you're one of our old guys too. All right, finally, we got some good news, I suppose, about our attendance at Koshien or at home games, where we reached the 1 million mark in attendance in 23 home games, which would mean 20 at Koshien, if I'm not mistaken. I think it counts the Kyocera games. I could be wrong.
I think it does count the Kyocera games.
Okay, well, we'll say it does. And Kyocera is a smaller stadium than Koshien, so reaching 1 million at this point is quite impressive. And quite likely, we are the first team in NPB to reach that, because the only stadium, I think, that has a greater capacity than ours is Tokyo Dome, if I'm not mistaken. So, and I think we might have had more home games than them so far. Anyways, that's good news. The bad news is that we are 9 wins and 13 losses at home. So that means that, you know, in 13 of those 23 games... Oh, it's not adding up. I think there was a tie in there.
Yeah, there was a tie in there.
Yeah, the bad news is that in 13 of those games, people left kind of disappointed. And so hopefully they'll be able to pick things up and start to get their winning ways back at Koshien. Something they really haven't had since 2017, because last year was a pretty pathetic year at home as well. Nevertheless, everybody out there, if you have never been to a Tigers game, you know the slogan, win or lose, Tigers pride or Tigers for life. And I can attest to this. I have been to plenty of loss. And yeah, you go home disappointed, but it is nothing short of a good time being at those games. So don't let their record discourage you from going out to the ball game. You'll have a great time, I promise. And speaking of which, let's recap some of the action over the past fortnight. So Sanjay, when we left off last time, we were facing the Swallows in Tokyo at Jingu Park, and we lost the first game of the series and won the second, and then we hit record on the show. And then the third game, it looked like we were going to run away with. We were up 5-0, and then something happened. We brought in a reliever that really, like, he soiled the bed. You know, there's no other way around it. He soiled the mound, the bed, the whole stadium. So it was 5-5 before we knew it in the blink of an eye. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was Pierce Johnson's first run against on his record. Yeah, thanks, JD, for jinxing that last episode. Anyways, so it was tied 5-5 going into extras, and it wasn't looking that great. And then Nakatani pulled the hero in the top of the 12th, and we were up 7-5. He hit a clutch double. And the thing is, we only had two relief pitchers left. We had, who was it? Hiroya Shimamoto, who we ended up using, and Masumi Hamachi, who only had one game of experience up to that point, if I'm not mistaken. So we brought in Shimamoto, and he gave up two runs, and we ended up tying the game 7-7. But that was the 12th game in 12 days. And so taking a tie on the road, you know, with all that fatigue, I actually, I'm willing to accept.
I agree with you that, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, I thought we'd won the game because I wasn't watching until the very end, and I was disappointed the next day. But in the podcast that we recorded earlier in the day, you did offer the possibility that we might be 8-3-1, I guess. And that was a very prescient comment, I guess.
I suppose. I mean, was it me or even JD? I'm not sure. But, you know, it was just kind of those what if, you know, there's always a chance we might tie. And sure enough, we did. So there you have it. Anyways, so we get a long, you know, much needed, long awaited day off on the Thursday. And then on the weekend, we host the Chunichi Dragons at Koshien, a team that was struggling quite mightily, and we should have been able to do a better job against. But we beat them 7-3, and then we lost 5-1 and 5-2 in the Saturday-Sunday set. And if I'm not mistaken, our record on Saturday this season is absolutely atrocious. But anyways, anything to talk about in this series besides the second Marte McFly of the year, which happened in our 7-3 win?
Did you actually tweet that out, Marte McFly, when it happened?
I might have. I mean, I try to do it when it happens, but the thing is, I usually don't have my phone in hand when he's at bat, because I'm also juggling kids and washing dishes and other stuff while I'm watching the game. So in that one, I don't think I tweeted it live, but I certainly, when I retweet the highlight, I usually include the Marte McFly tag on it.
Fair enough. You're a multitasker. It's great. I don't have much to add to that one. Thanks.
Yeah, so in the first inning of this one, Messenger gave up 3 runs, and it just seems like Shuhei Takahashi is doing a number on our team. He actually came back again in the 8th and put up another run. That was not against Messenger. But we were down 5-0, and we were at risk of getting shut out, and then Marte came through with a grounder. So certainly not a Marte McFly, but we got 1 run and broke the shutout just in the 9th inning. So that was not a fun one by any means. And then on Sunday, pretty much, I think it was kind of the same story, but this time with Saiki on the mound. He gave up 2 in the first inning. We got them back in the bottom of the first, and then they took 1 more in the second and 2 more in the 5th. So Saiki definitely did not look sharp and got farmed right after that. So I guess the only good news we could take from that series is that our bullpen was quite strong. Our starters, not so much so. And so we go 1-2 against the Dragons, and we get another day off. Yay! And after that, we face the Giants in Tokyo. And if you don't know the background of the story, we are 0-6 against the Giants heading into this series. And we are going up against a rookie pitcher that really did us in his first, I think it was his first career start even. And he took us down. And then we are going up against Sugano, the 2-time Sawamura Award winner, in the second game of the series. Well, we won the first one 4-2. Aoyagi was quite good. And I've got a note here saying that PQR was also great. Do you know what PQR stands for?
I think I do, but you need to remind me.
Okay, it's PJ for Pierce Johnson. Q is for Kyuji Fujikawa. I know it's not how it's spelled, but QG. And then R is for Rafael Dolis, so PQR. I don't know. I mean, with JFK being as great as it was, we got to think of something clever. So I said PQR. Anyhow, they were great. The other great news about this game that we won 4-2 was that Hayato Sakamoto of the Giants was on a 36-game on-base streak, which started on day one of the season. And this was a new CL record. And Aoyagi and the boys ended it. And it was cool because Dolis ended it on the very last out of the game. So we broke our losing streak against the Giants. We broke Sakamoto's streak. It's all looking good, and we're starting to get worried because we got Sugano the next day. But worry we need not. Did you catch this game, Sanjay?
Yeah, I caught the first part of it, and a big smile plastered on my face all the time while it was going on.
Oh, man, I could not believe how much of a smile was on my face. Actually, I was multitasking in this one as well, so I was watching it recorded, and so I had to pause at times, but after I put my kids to bed, I pressed play, and I saw home run, home run, home run, and I was seriously laughing. Like, I usually don't laugh when I watch baseball, but I was laughing because I've never seen Sugano get beat that bad, particularly at the hands of the Tigers. So 4 of our guys went yard on him. The first was Itoi in the first inning, and then it was Fukudome in the 5th inning, I believe it was. And then it was also Kinami in that same inning, and to knock him out of the game, it was Yusuke Oyama. And so those were 4 big home runs, and then we got 1 more later in the game from Umeno off of their relievers, and we won 13-8. But what a treat. What a treat to win 2 straight in Tokyo against the Giants, and especially to beat Sugano that bad. I mean, I don't know that that's ever going to happen again. So we gotta certainly savor this one and savor it as long as we can.
Oh, man, I erased my DVR on that part already.
Dang. Well, you got to find some highlights somewhere online then. Anyhow, so that is the best of times, referring back to the intro. The worst of times is about to come as we face the Carp. And we are at home. We lose 10-2, 4-0, and 5-1 for a total of 19 for them and 3 for us. 3 losses for us, none for them. And they are currently, including Tuesday night, they are on an 8-game winning streak. And the Carp are in first place, man. This is the team that was 4-12 to start the year. They've gone 21-6 since.
Unbelievable. And you know what? At the beginning of the season, we're saying, well, I guess Maru was that important, or they're missing the fighting spirit from Arai or whatever it was. But maybe it was just that they were underperforming and now they're reverting to their mean.
Man, they are confident. Their pitching has been excellent. I don't want to sing their praises, but honestly, the Tigers had a couple of bad plays, and certainly they were not great in this series, but the Carp are just such a strong team, and they played really good baseball, and that's all there is to it. I mean, the game on Friday was really a game of inches because I think it was their first run of the game. Chikamoto threw the ball home on a base hit. The guy was running for home, and we just missed. I mean, we almost tagged the guy out. And then I think it was the very next inning or two innings later, the opposite happened, except that Seiya Suzuki threw our guy out. And then later in the game, again, Fukudome threw the ball home and was in time, but Umeno's tag was not in time, and they got another run, so safe on that one. So it was just little things. And by the way, the game was 2-1 for us heading into the eighth inning. And I think it was at that point that I put my son to bed. And so we had just watched the Tigers take the lead, and we were all excited. And I said, okay, time for bed. And then after he went to bed, I went and looked at the score, and I was like, oh, we're losing 3-2. Oh, maybe we can still come back. And then we gave up 7 runs in the ninth inning. So terrible game there. Randy gave up 2 home runs on Saturday, and I heard people complaining about the strike zone, but you know, home runs are home runs, and it doesn't matter how what the strike zone looks like. You know, they were getting all of his pitch, and I kind of feel like, hey, Randy, we're going to talk about you later on in the show too as one of our declining veterans. And then on Sunday, Akiyama got absolutely served. In the first 4 innings that he pitched, he allowed 9 hits, and our fielding was not good either. There were some plays that don't go down as errors, but they certainly were not good. So a really rough game there. And the only reason we didn't get shut out was, again, with 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth, Nakatani hit an RBI double. So that's what saved us from 2 straight shutouts at the hand of the Carp. Let's put that behind us, unless you want to say anything about that series.
I don't want to say much, except that I really don't want to be the guys bringing out the best in the other team, you know. So I hope that we do better.
No, let's not break anybody's streaks, and let's not help anybody to stay on hot streaks. Yeah. Okay, well, anyways, the season's still young, and we are still at 500, which I suppose is good, but we're heading against another team that is also at 500 and also has a pretty good track record against us, that being the Yakult Swallows. So last night was game 1 of a 3-game set. This is also at Koshien, and we had Aoyagi on the mound again, as we mentioned in the news and notes. News and rumors. He induced 3 or 4 double plays in this one, and he only allowed 1 run, and it was unearned. And we ended up getting 3 runs in this one. Kind of not really small ball, but certainly no real power hitting in this one from us, but we did get 3 runs. The one run that they got really confused me because they hit a grounder to first base. Marte threw it home. Umeno caught the ball. He kind of had to cross home to catch it. Like, he was standing kind of in front of home, but the throw brought him behind home, but he certainly was not on the base path. And their runner still knocked Umeno over. The ball came loose, and he was called safe. But clearly, Umeno had possession of the ball. And I'm just going, okay, what happened to the collision rule? And honestly, like, I'm not a baseball rules expert, but I kind of feel like the umps have forgotten about it, and even, like, managers don't come out and complain about it anymore. Because to me, that was a clear case of the runner not staying on the base paths and bumping into the catcher, maybe in an attempt to, you know, jar the ball loose. Because if he had just moved over, if he had stayed on the base path, he could have slid in untouched and been safe. So anyways, that kind of made me mad, but whatever. These things happen. We got the win. We won 3-2. Unfortunately, at the end of the game, Nomi gave up a solo home run opposite field. And Mr. Nomi, we're going to be talking about you in a little bit soon as well as aging veteran. So there you have it. The Tigers are 1 game above 500. The Swallows, or the Swallows, we might be able to call them because they have lost 6 straight now, are 1 game below 500. And so we find ourselves in 3rd place behind, yeah, you guessed it, the Carp and the Giants. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics. Speaking of veterans in decline, as we've been doing much of this show, this is an issue that we need to talk about. So I've got a list, Sanjay, of 6 guys that are either entering their 38th age 38 season or beyond. Okay, so we'll go from youngest to oldest here. The youngest guy that we're going to talk about is actually Randy Messenger, who's turning 38 in August. He is followed closely, though, by Itoi, who's turning 38 in July, and Toritani, who's turning 38 in June. And then we've got Nomi, who will be turning 40 in 6 days. Oh, sorry, I missed QG. QG will be turning 39, I think it's next July-ish. And then Nomi will be turning 40 in a week. And, of course, we've got Fukudome, who is 42, just turned 42 a month ago. So these are all guys that are on the top squad and playing a fairly prominent role, Toritani aside. But from my observations, I would say at least four of them are clearly in decline. Care to guess which ones? Or you probably know.
I'm not sure which exact four you're going to talk about, but I can guess Toritani is right up there. And being in his last year of his, what is it, four-year deal that he had? A five-year deal. Last year, the five-year FA deal, yeah. You want three more from me from here. I'm guessing you're going to say Nomi, although I think he might have another year or two in him.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nomi for sure, yeah.
And I'm afraid you're going to say Fukudome.
Actually, I'm
not. You're not. Oh, good.
I don't think he's in clear decline yet.
He's 42 years. He's the oldest player now that Uehara has hung him up. Oldest in the Central League.
True. He's still younger than me, though. So. But he's doing well, so I'm not going to include him in that list.
Right,
no.
Okay. Well, then we're left with, are you going to say, Itoi has one more year after this year in his contract.
He does.
I don't think Itoi. And then are we going to say goodbye to QG?
So I'm not necessarily talking about guys that we're for sure saying goodbye to this offseason, but rather guys that are clearly in decline. You know, that they may not end up being prominent players anymore, or maybe they shouldn't be prominent players anymore. And so I'm actually, at the risk of being extremely unpopular, I'm going to put Randy Messenger in there. And then on top of that, I would also say Yoshio Itoi has definitely taken a step back from who he was when we signed him in 2017. So in 2 years, he has stepped back considerably.
Itoi has gone from being Mr. Chojin, Superman, to sort of being almost, I don't want to say liability, but...
Mr. Byonin in a way, the Mr. Sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Injured. Yeah, you know, he's not a liability. I mean, you know, anytime that a guy is leading, I believe he's leading the team in OPS as far as regular players go. So I wouldn't say that. As far as regulars, his OPS is 808. Next best is Umino at 786. Followed by Marte at 767. So pretty impressive there. But I wouldn't say that he's a liability, but certainly if you look at his overall numbers, this is a guy that, you know, for his career, walks about as regularly as he strikes out, more or less. And he's already struck out 41 times this year, which puts him on pace for quite a bit, probably around 130-ish, which I think would set a career high for him. His OPS for his career is around 900, so he's about 100 below that right now. He's got two home runs, which puts him well below his, you know, he's usually good for 16 to 18 home runs. He's nowhere near that pace. He has got two stolen bases, which puts him on pace for seven, maybe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the year before we acquired him, he stole 53. So, and not that we would expect that from a 38-year-old, but certainly, you know, on pace for seven, not very good. So I put him in the decline category for those reasons. His average is sitting right around his career average. But then, you know, we haven't even talked about his defense, which I think has been the problem that most people gripe about more than his hitting. So, yeah, I mean, like, if he keeps up this hitting pace the rest of the year, I may not complain about his bat so much.
Right.
I will complain about his defense and the fact that he's taking up a lot of salary and he's taking up a lot of playing time from young guys for what he's contributing. So any thoughts on Itoi, though, or anything that you feel, you know, you could defend him on or anything like that?
No, actually, when I said liability, I was really thinking about his defense. And I recall back a couple starts when Randy didn't have the strongest of first innings, but there was some commentary in there about how Itoi didn't really charge and make a throw to home, and which visibly frustrated Randy because even if it was not gonna get you the out at home, at least make the effort, make it look like you're there supporting your guy, and that seems to be a little bit lacking a lot of times with Itoi on defense.
Yeah, and I wonder about that a lot of times, like Is his lack of effort something that's misinterpreted by fans, or does the team sense that as well? And I really feel like it's the latter. I feel like the team might even sense a bit of a lack of effort or hustle on his part at times. And I definitely don't like that aspect of his game. You know, like I try to like Itoi because I think as a person, he seems like a pretty cool guy. And as far as what he's capable of or what he typically brings, like if you look at his first two seasons with the Tigers, he had 17 home runs and 21 stolen bases in 2017, and then 16 home runs and 22 stolen bases in 2018. So, you know, not bad. Certainly quite good numbers, you know, by Tiger standards, you know, certainly. But then when you throw in things like his lack of hustle and or perceived lack of hustle at the very least, certainly on defense, his range is not what it was. I've never seen him lay out for anything except like he slid for that one foul ball. But, you know, in that same game, I believe, no, it was the day before, Fukudome laid out full out for a ball that was shallow and he missed, but he tried. And Fukudome has laid out on multiple occasions and gotten it done. And so when you see that contrast, you just kind of wonder like, okay, well, maybe he's got injuries that he's worried about, but then do we want him in right field every single day guarding and you know, having the pitcher's backs? Because I feel like he doesn't really have the pitcher's backs. So I think that's a problem. And I would be okay with them resting him once a week the rest of the way. And certainly I would love to see him supplanted next season. If somebody steps up, I'm not saying like absolutely farm him or absolutely put him on the bench, but I certainly wouldn't say absolutely guarantee him a position anymore because he's not, you know, he's not leading the team in any categories except for OPS, maybe on base percentage, but that's about it. So he's not really pulling his weight as a number three hitter. And that's the book on Itoi, unless you have something else.
I was going to say, maybe he'd be a good DH candidate for the interleague games.
Yeah, why not? I mean, his bat certainly is still doing okay, and maybe if he doesn't have to worry about fielding, maybe his bat will come even more alive. Although I think we thought about that last season, and it didn't quite work out.
Fair enough.
Anyhow, let's continue in the vein of hitters, and let's talk about everybody's favorite, or certainly a fan favorite, that being the team's all-time leader in hits, career hits, that is, Takashi Toritani, who is 37 years old, wanted to be the starting shortstop this year, competed for the position, lost, and now is looking absolutely lost at the plate, and he never gets to be on the field either. I mean, I can't remember the last time that I saw him at shortstop in a game, and I don't think he's played at third or second or first or anywhere, I guess, other than that this season. So, man, his days are for sure numbered, at least as far as I'm concerned. This is a guy who's batting 128 right now. His on-base percentage, which is usually quite good, is not. It's 180. And his OPS is 371. His OPS. So his OPS is considerably lower than Itoi's on-base percentage. He's only drawn 3 walks, and that would be in 50 plate appearances. So that's well below his, you know, his normal numbers. His average with runners in scoring position is 0, and I believe it's 0.420. With 2 walks and 8 strikeouts. So how's that for killing rallies? I know a lot of people say that he needs multiple at-bats in order for his presence to be felt, in order for him to produce. And if that's the case, man, there's no more room for that. There's no more time for that with these Tigers. I mean, he doesn't have it at shortstop anymore. He doesn't have the range. He might have the arm, but he doesn't have the range. And certainly, I mean, does the team have the patience to give a 38-year-old full playing time at shortstop just so that he can heat up his bat? Which doesn't have power in it anymore. His legs don't have speed in them anymore. It's really sad. I mean, I know he was a team leader and a fan favorite for a number of years, but honestly, I said this on March the 28th, I believe, in my vodcast. He's retiring at season's end, man. I really believe it. I don't think that there's room for him. They can't farm him. What's he going to do on the farm? What's he going to prove on the farm? Is he going to take away from young guys playing time to try to get himself back into you know, game shape or whatever, or you know, to keep his senses sharp? I don't think so. I don't think that's Toritani's style, and I don't think that is what Hanshin needs. So if he's no good on the farm, and right now he's no good on the top squad, sorry to rant without letting you have some airspace here, Sanjay, but that's how I feel about Toritani. What do you think?
Well, you know what? If you go back to what he said at the start of the year, when he said that, you know, he wanted to talk to Yano and challenge, you know, become an honest-to-goodness challenger for the starting shortstop position, He also said that 2019 is going to be the year that will, you know, it's going to make or break him. That if he doesn't perform then he's going to hang him up. It's pretty much what he implied without explicitly saying it. And mm-hmm. I think we're seeing that, you know, play out. And so, you know, it's the last year of his five-year deal, as you pointed out earlier. And I don't see, you know, if this is what we're going to see for the rest of the year, I don't see him wanting to continue. And it's probably a good time for him to, you know, either step away from the game for a little bit and as they say, see the game from a different perspective for a while, and then maybe come back and become some kind of a, you know, coach or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I would like to point out that actually both Toitani and Itoi were members of the 2003 draft class. Toitani was the number one pick for the Tigers. Itoi was the Jiuwaku. I don't know how you translate that. It's like the player gets to choose the team, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So those two guys, you know, came on board at the same time. And I guess one has a little more juice left in him than the other one as it stands.
Yeah, it seems that way. And it's not for lack of effort because they both work out hard in the offseason and they're both, you know, very well known for, you know, certainly not being lazy when it comes to preparing for games. So, yeah, the thing with Toritani is, like, again, I don't want to say that I want this to happen, but, you know, Uehara for the Giants just retired mid-season, and then kind of the same thing happened with Ichiro 2 years in a row with the Mariners, right? I mean, essentially he retired in 2018, even though they didn't use that word, and then he announced it after the first two games of this year, because he was just like, man, I'm not able to get it done anymore. Like, time is caught up on me, and I can't take up a roster space. And I kind of feel like, man, like, that is a legit option for Toritani. I mean, if it happens, I promise you, Kansai is probably going to explode. or the Tigers fan, you know, community anyways is going to explode. But, like, this season, is he going to be able to keep playing this way? You know, taking up a roster spot to be a pinch hitter and nothing but, making his 400 million yen a season and batting 130. You know, there's no... I don't see any scenario in which he gets starting position or starting playing time the rest of the way. And I don't see any, I don't know. I mean, maybe he might end up being an all-star pinch hitter if he can figure something out, but he certainly hasn't figured it out yet. So I can't help but wonder, like, is he the next guy to just mid-season kind of say, okay, look, like, I'm done. I'm clearly not helping this team out, and they can use my roster spot for something better than me, because I really think that's the case. As rude as that might sound, I think that's the truth.
Yeah, you don't have too much disagreement from me on that front.
Well, thank you. At least I've got one supporter, and the rest of you, send your mail to whocares@idontcare.com. Sorry. No, seriously, if you do want to, you know, discuss or dialogue with me, I would love to talk about this with somebody who's got a different vantage point for sure. All right, let's move on to pitchers, and we did mention other guys, right? Like, we mentioned Fukudome, but I really think he's still got it, maybe for another season. Ultimately, his spot is going to need to be taken because time catches up to everybody, but at least for now, he's contributing. And then when it comes to pitchers, I really feel like Kyuji is still contributing. If you look at his numbers this year, 11 innings pitched in 11 games, allowed just 5 hits. Of course, 2 of them home runs, but he's also walked 9 guys, but he's got 20 strikeouts in 11 innings. So, I mean, the guy has still got the stuff. You know, batters are hitting 139 against him, and he's got a 2.45 ERA, so he's still got it. But then I'm looking at two other guys that, certainly compared to their career norms, they're definitely on the way down, and that would be Atsushi Nomi and Randy Messenger. Let's tackle Nomi first. Because Messenger might be a bit of a heavier topic. So Nomi, as we said, is turning 40 very soon, and he shifted from being a starter to the bullpen right around this time last season. I think it was in May. And he was very good last year out of the bullpen. I think his ERA was under 1. And nobody expected that for this season, but certainly his 4.73 is not getting it done. His 11 hits in 13 innings isn't bad, but add 11 walks to that. So his whip is 1.65. And, you know, his strikeouts are still quite good, 12 in 13 and a third innings. But I've noticed that his fastball isn't as strong as it was, and he's not hitting the zone as much. And I think batters are catching on to that, which has resulted in a lot of walks. I'm kind of Captain Obvious here, but I just feel like he certainly doesn't have it. I don't know. I'm not sure if he will be around next year, but certainly I wouldn't count on him being a regular part of the bullpen next year. So I think that he needs to be replaced at some point. If not this year, then next year. But what are your thoughts on Nomi? Tell us a little bit of his background or how you feel about him as a fan.
Well, I think I might have told you this before when we spoke at the beginning of last year, but I remember seeing Nomi when he pitched in the Hawaii Winter League back in...
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Back in, when was that, 2006? You know, here was this, you know, by all visible indications, this sort of thin, almost frail guy, just mowing down major league or minor league studs anyway, one after the other, and he was a total stud. And so I also have a soft spot in my heart for Nomi. Since I was talking about drafts and so on, he was drafted the same year as Yu Darvish, who was still going strong. And he and his battery mate, Okazaki, were the top two for the Tigers that year. And actually, a few rounds later, in round number eight, the son of my old classmate from high school in Kobe, Kent Tsujimoto, was also drafted. So that was kind of a year for me that had a little special significance to me. So, you know, and it's not that long ago. And look, Darvish is still pitching, or somewhat pitching, when he's healthy.
yeah.
And I would like to see Nomi kind of figure out how to pitch as an aging player, just like we talked about Iwata last time and the old example of Shimoyanagi. Yeah, exactly. I would like to see that happen. I don't want to see him just hang him up just yet, but that's just a personal thing.
Fair enough. So Nomi actually played Industrial League, and I think he was 25 when he was drafted, if I'm not mistaken. So a little bit different than Darvish, who I believe came straight out of high school. But yeah, Nomi, as you mentioned, he was a real frail guy, and apparently he got injured quite easily earlier in his career. So he's come a long ways, and certainly he was an anchor of the rotation in the earlier part of the decade. So lots of appreciation for him, but not so sure if he is going to last very much longer. But you never know. I mean, like a 4.73 ERA is not insurmountable, or, you know, like he can definitely bring it down to respectability. We shall see if this is a product of Father Time or if it's something else as the season goes on. Either way, I feel like we have some pretty good lefties in our bullpen on the farm and on the top squad right now. Like Shimamoto has actually come along, somebody that I never thought would. But he's kind of been dubbed Little Nomi because he's a lefty as well. We've also got Iwazaki, who's quite good as a lefty in the bullpen. And I think there might be, well, there's also, Masaki Ishii, who's right now a development pitcher on the farm, and he's been, throwing out of the bullpen on the farm, and I think his ERA is sitting somewhere around 1.2. So there's another option, out of the bullpen, when it comes to southpaws. So I think we've kind of got that covered. The one that is the most heartbreaking or the most difficult, to handle, at least for us as Tigers fans, is Randy Messenger. And, you know, I'm not ready to write him off yet because he has looked good at times this season. He does have a complete game under his belt. And other than the two home runs, and that's like saying other than the eight-game losing streak were great or whatever, but other than the two home runs the other day, he actually did look quite good. So I really feel like he is still pretty solid. And I feel like he's still an option at least through the end of 2019. I'm not so sure about after that, though. I mean, he's got a 4.09 ERA, and his strikeouts per inning are 5.93. He's given up 7 home runs already, and I just feel like he is not the guy that he used to be. I mean, he used to be the guy that could get us a ton of strikeouts. He was dependable for wins, and I know that wins are out of the control of the pitcher by and large, but he was on the mound for a lot of wins. He was going deep in games. And that just hasn't been the case lately. So I'm not really sure what is going to happen with Randy the rest of the way. And now that he's finally Nihonjin, I don't know how his contract negotiations are going to work. But my concern with Randy is this. If the team decides that they don't want to sign him again, or if they go into negotiations and Randy's expecting to keep the same salary or whatever, and the team goes, look, you know, you're finally Nihonjin, and we have to say that as a Nihonjin, like, we can't justify paying you $3 million or $4 million for a season at this level. What's going to happen? Is he going to walk? Is he going to take a pay cut? I don't know, man, but I really feel like his future is kind of up in the air right now. So, like, what do you think, man? There's multiple options or multiple scenarios that could play themselves out. First of all, do you think he'll be back with the team in 2020?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
But your earlier comments about, well, under what kind of scenario, you know, that I hadn't really thought it through that way. But now that you mention it, I would imagine that he's okay with taking a pay cut to something, you know, more reasonable, but still a lot of money. Because listen, what's the alternative? Is he going to, like, go back to the U.S. and be able to find a gig? No, right? So making whatever he is going to be able to get from the Tigers next year is probably, you know, in the real world, a good thing. And I think he would do that for as long as he can, you know, take care of his kids and his family and so on, and their college tuition or whatever it is that's going to take. And then he can hang him up when he's good and done. And, you know, he's still beloved by the fans in Japan, and he's still... he has a lot of goodwill. He can still post some numbers, even if it's not, you know, at his prime level, you know, when he was in his prime. I think he can do it. And I do expect him to be back. I do expect the Tigers and him to kind of be able to work out something that's mutually acceptable.
Two thoughts on that. One, I'm going to branch back a couple of years to an interview he did in the monthly Hanshin Tigers magazine, where he said, 2020, man, I don't know. Like, I'd love to bring my family back to check out the Olympics in Tokyo. And so, I mean, this was in, I think, 2016, maybe, that this interview came out, but he was kind of talking like, I probably won't still be playing in 2020. So there's that. And then the other one is this, man, when they brought him in 2010, he actually came in as a reliever. And I don't know, like, we've got Dolis and Johnson who are doing so well, but then again, Randy wouldn't be considered an import anyway, so I wonder if they might consider bringing him back to the bullpen as a reliever in 2020. Because that, you know, despite the fact that he's had some really shaky first innings this season, I think the reason for that, one of the reasons is I think maybe Umino is calling on the fastball a little bit too much and not on the secondary stuff. But if he's a reliever, right, they can use the secondary stuff right from the start because it's just one inning. And then his fastball, I think, is going to get a couple of ticks on it. It's going to add a few kilometers an hour onto that simply because he won't have to pace himself for 6-7 innings. He can give it all he's got for 1 or 2 innings. So maybe bullpen is the way to go. And again, he doesn't count as an import. And can you imagine a bullpen where our shutdown is Randy Johnson, the big unit, and then Rafael Dolis? Sorry, it had to be said. Had to be said. Yeah. So I don't know, man, but I kind of feel like either way, he's going to be replaced in the rotation, if not in 2020, then certainly in 2021. Like, I don't see him going that much farther, that much longer. He'll turn 40 in 2021, and I just don't see him playing until he's 40. Especially the way he's declined in the last season. And honestly, I mean, since June of last year, so almost a full year, he hasn't been the stud that he was up until then. I don't think he's really had a single really good month during that whole stretch, during a full season worth of play. So, sorry, all the Randy fans out there, Randy's mom, Randy's wife, Randy's family. If you're listening, I'm just trying to tell it like it is, but I mean no disrespect to the one that you love. Because I love him too. That is it, you guys. We are done talking about that. I know we didn't get around to who's going to replace. But here's my thing, just to kind of close this segment off, Sanjay. Especially when it comes to the outfield, when it comes to Ito and Fukudome, these are spots that are going to be vacant, like it or not, you know, in the next couple of seasons. And I kind of feel like the guys that we have now, they've got the skill, perhaps, to be starters. But I don't know what's lacking, man. Like, how come Nakatani can't just say, excuse me, step aside, Mr. Fukudome, sir, but this is my spot now, and I'm going to be taking your playing time because I'm that good. Like, that attitude, or just that, well, production too, hasn't been there. But I really feel, like I've said in past shows, I want to see our outfielders like Takayama and Nakatani and even Egoshi and Yokota. I'd love to see those guys actually push Itoi and Fukudome out of positions, as opposed to them, you know, finding themselves in wheelchairs and the team saying, can you please play for one more year? We've got a good guy in the draft next year. Like, no, let's get our guys, you know, taking those positions actively from our old guys.
I think the younger generation is just too polite. That's the problem.
Fukudome-san. Oh, Fukudome-san. Zettai Fukudome-san da yo, right? Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, we can't take away Fukudome-san sensei-sama's position. Yeah, maybe.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen?
All right, let's look at the upcoming schedule, which is going to take us all the way until interleague play, actually. We have got to finish up this series against the Swallows in the next two nights, and then we go into Yokohama, our favorite stadium, for three games on the weekend. And then we host the Giants for three to see if that two-game set was a fluke or if we're going to go back to our losing ways. And then we go on the road to face the Carp for three. So it could be another best of times, worst of times intro next time we see you, because after that, Interleague starts. We'll have one game against the Chibolate Marines before we record episode 99. So it is not going to be an easy fortnight, for sure. I would say certainly this week might be easier than next, or at least on paper. So my prediction, though, is that, unfortunately, I feel like we might stumble into Interleague. I'm going to say that we're going to enter Interleague exactly 500, though. Like, we're one above right now. I think we can maybe get ourselves two, maybe four, if things go really well, over 500, heading into the Giants and Carps series. And then, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of optimism that we are going to, pull our weight, be able to hold fort against those two teams. So I think maybe going into Interleague, we might be around 500. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic than you on this one.
Thank you.
And I can even break it down for you if you like. We got two more against the Swallows. I say we take them both.
Oh.
The three against the Bay Stars, I'm going to say we go 2-1 at Yokohama, which I think is eminently doable. We might even do 3-0, but I'm not going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Giants at home, I'm going to say that our last two games, our two victories against them, are going to give us what we need, and we're going to go 2-1 against the Giants at home.
Hey, Sugano is actually on the DL right now with a bad lower back injury, so we won't even be facing him, which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Anyways, no more five home run days? Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, all right.
Oh.
Then then we go play the Carp, and I'm afraid we go 1-2 at Carp. And okay. I say we're probably going to drop the first one against the Marines, too, because we suck against the Pacific League when we first see them first time. So that takes us to...
Yeah, and I think in Zozo, we're actually not very good at all. So
that gives us a 7-5 record for the next 12, I guess.
Okay, so we'll be three games above 500 the next time that we see you.
That's my hope.
I'm holding you to that, man. I'm holding you to that. All right, everybody, one quick announcement. We're, as you can tell, we are coming up on the 100th episode of H10 real soon, something I never thought that we would do. And I would like to invite you to be part of that episode. And the way you can do that is if you would like to send in any kind of comments, congrats to us, any shout outs to anybody out in Japan that you know, or if you want to just, you know, kind of introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, where you're listening from, tell us about your history of being a Hanshin Tigers fan, or give a few comments about the show, give a few comments about the 2019 Hanshin Tigers. I would prefer if you send that in audio format so that we can just plug it into the show and your voice can be on the airwaves. But if you're not, if that's not your style, send it to me in text form. Either way, send it to thehanshintigers@gmail.com. And the deadline is June the 15th for that. We are hoping to get that on the 100th episode special. So do your part, everybody. We want your voice. We want your comments on the show. Thank you once again for your time and your passion for the Tigers. If you like what you've heard and want more H10 content, Patreon is where it's at. You'll get an extra podcast episode every month. You'll also get a few extra articles in there that I've been trying to take care of as well. You'll find that link in the show notes. You can find this podcast almost anywhere that you can find podcasts, but mainly you find it in the iTunes store, you'll find it on Stitcher, and you'll find it in Spotify. So just look for us there. We're also on all the major social media outlets. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. If you type in H10 or Hanshin Tigers English News, you will find us there. If there is a space for writing a review on those, please do so. And if not, then just get in touch, follow, or whatever you need to do to get yourself more Hanshin Tigers. So until next time, everybody, keep on cheering for these Tigers until the classic literature that they bring us is not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's not the best of times and worst of times, but it's brought to us by good old Homer. Have a good one, everyone.